We're going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. Beginning in verse 12. It's interesting to note that this word came in somewhat response to some of the events that's taking place in our nation. Yet it's not strictly concerning that and what we're seeing right now happen in some of the divisions that are taking place, even though I think it's well worth addressing that during the course of this message. But it's primarily the Lord is speaking this morning to create an atmosphere today of where we can begin to transition our minds into a whole new paradigm of understanding of what it's like to walk with God. One of the great things that happens on our journey is the progressive unfolding, the unfailing love of God that's revealed to us. It's called in the Bible grace to grace, where grace becomes so magnified to us that it becomes really the call of our hearts, where grace begins to be so evident to us, demonstrated not only by Christ, but what we demonstrate to one another. Whether we like it or not, most people only know as much about God as what they see in you. It's kind of a cop-out to worship an invisible God. When really, he's no longer invisible. Some people say, well, I can't see God. I can't understand God. Well, yes, you can. He's all around us. Like I said last week, he's not necessarily in the tree that you worship under. He's among the people you worship with. No man is an island in the kingdom. We've all been chosen by God to be an integral part of each other. And I love this morning when we were worshiping together here and the psalm came forth about the oneness. What an incredible spirit was released. How many felt that? Wasn't that awesome? And a lot of things begin to pop in my spirit, especially last night, about the origin. And I don't want to speak too much about that because I think there's going to be something we just release in just a few minutes. But I did see that when the Lord said he's the way, the truth, and the life, no man can come to the Father by him, but by him. We understand that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of everything that happens. So out of a cornerstone comes forth all the design and all the plan that God has for our lives individually and for us as a people. So when I want to find out where I'm at in my journey, I always reference back to the cornerstone, that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Father's will upon the earth. It's interesting that in all the years before Christ, man's attempt to know God was oftentimes very futile. They often misunderstood and had misinterpreted his intention. Because when you view God from a distance, you tend to think that he's also viewing you from a distance. And so when you fall into something in your own nature of disobedience or sin or things that you know that's not pleasing to a righteous God, you tend to take the position that because of the separation you have with him, the punishment is very severe. Because the further you're away from someone, the greater the severity of the perception of the punishment. A lot of times people say, well, we're scared of you, Pastor Bill. Now, for God's name, I don't know why anyone would ever be scared of me. I'm scared to talk to you because I'm afraid of your reaction towards me. Well, they're simply saying, I'm not close enough to you yet to where I really know you. Because really, if you really knew me, you knew that I'm just a big teddy bear. Right? It's like the kids, when you have kids. One thing that Jennifer was good at, David, you weren't so good at it, but Jennifer was good that when she got in trouble, instead of running away, she got close. It's difficult to discipline a child that comes up and gives you a big hug in the midst of their disobedience. You know, it kind of changes your whole perception. It kind of takes away all your anger. All of a sudden, they did bad and they come, Daddy, Daddy, and they give you a hug. I mean, it's just hard to get any leverage to give them a spanking. But when they start running away from you, it's a whole different thing. You have a whole different, it's a whole different concept of how it works. It's the same way with God. God is taking this out of this concept, and it's amazing when Christ came to the earth, he came to abolish that separation between us and the Father. That was his whole purpose. He came to destroy that separation, to finally bring that to naught. To no longer do we feel estranged and cut off from God, but we feel that he's close with us. He's nigh us. He's even in our heart. He's even the breath we have. He's in our mind. He's in our eyes, our ears. He's everywhere with us. God is with us. And that's what Christ came to do. He came to bring the manifestation of the Father to the earth, to say, finally, here, earth, here is who he really is. And it's amazing how that we accept that, but yet we turn right back around and put him back up there. We're going to put him back up there. Lord, where are you? Christ came and did all this, but now you left again. You left us strangers. You left us estranged. But that's not what happened. Because of what Christ did, he forever created you to be one with him. To know him, to understand him, to breathe with him, to love with him, to be everything with him, in Christ, in him. I live and move and have my being. That's how close he draws us to himself. But the confusion is this. We keep looking for a God there, but the Lord's saying, look around you and you'll find him. Where are you, Jesus? How can I find you again? How can I connect with you? Look around. He's here with you now. He's sitting close to you, more than likely, right now. How far away is your forgiveness? You can reach out and touch it. How far away is your acceptance? You can probably reach over and touch it right now. How far away is your validation? You can probably touch your validation right now. It's pretty close to you. Well, I thought I had to reach up there to find him. Just reach out here. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not speaking that the one next to you is the one. But I am saying that the one next to you has, that's connected to the one, has that one within him or her. For they have now, whoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. The power of life and death is in your tongue. The ability to create a place for someone else is in your power. You have the right to reconcile that one that's cut off. You have that authority to do so. You have the power of creation in you to create something for someone else. Amen? We're getting warmed up now. Let's read. If you can't read, borrow someone next to you. Let them read to you. Okay. Verse 12, for we did not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to glory on our behalf, that you may have something to answer those who glory in appearance and not in their heart. For we are beside ourselves. Some of us have often used that scripture as an excuse for craziness. I have. I say, I can't help it. I'm beside myself. You know, when you're beside yourself, it's like, here's yourself, but then here you are beside yourself. Okay, we're all beside ourselves, all right? It is for God, or if we are a sound mind, it is for you. That needs no explanation. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all have died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him. Everybody say, I'm living for him who died for them, and he rose again. See, it's amazing how quick your problems evaporate in the knowledge of this. Because as long as the focus is on you and your problem, your need, your insufficiency, you'll always be trapped by that. Can we say that again? As long as the focus is upon your need, your problem, your insufficiency, your perception of your insufficiency, your inadequacy, your lack of self-worth, as long as you're always seeing things from the negative and not seeing them from the provision that what God has given you, you'll always be limited by what you've seen yourself to be. You must see yourself as one that has died with Christ, that no longer lives within yourself, but now there's a new spirit within you. There's a brand new man. The Bible said when we come into Christ, we become a brand new creation. Everybody say, brand new creation. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Lord, how can I get all this? He said, you must be born again. Lord, can I go back into my mother's womb and come out another time and have a fresh start? No, I'm not talking about that. I said, you must be born of the Spirit. You must become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So when you become a new creation, that creation that used to exist is no longer valid. You have to quit giving power to that which no longer lives. We have to quit reinforcing that which no longer is valid in our life. When we're born again, we're born again. We're a new creation. Well, what do we do about the old man? Let him die. Amen? Say, kill me, Lord. Kill my old nature. Well, what about when the old nature pops back up like it always does with all of us from time to time? The old nature raises up, doesn't it, and manifests itself and tries to assert itself over us. What do we do then? We give it no power. See, some people make a mistake or they sin or they do something that they know they shouldn't do in the old nature, and then they let it take days and weeks and months and sometimes years before they'll finally say, okay, that's not me. I'm not that. I'm that. I'm the new creation. I'm the new man. The new man lives in me, not the old anymore. I've crucified the old man with its affections and its desires and its lust. It no longer controls my life. Now I'm controlled by the Spirit of God within me. The Spirit that came through Christ from the Father. See, the Holy Spirit is not some, we can't make him into some ethereal being that's floating around in the sky. I know that I get into that, but it's okay. But that's not really what he is. He's not just an unseen being that's flittering around hoping that it'll pop on top of you every now and then and give you the goosebumps. The Spirit of God is the essence of God. It's the nature of God. It's the character of God. It's the heart of God revealed. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to open all these things up to you and lead you and guide you into all truth. And that everything that's been hidden will be revealed, and you'll begin to see now who the Father really is by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not given to us just to have a plaything in a playpen. Thank God that he is a God of humor and a God of joy and a God of freedom, that we can play in the field of the Lord. I mean, that's awesome that we can still be treated like children by God. And even when we're old men or old women, we can still every now and then fall on the floor and have a laughing high in a moment. That's great. But that's not what all he is. It's just part of him. He is so vast in his expression to us that he gives us all good things, all good treasures, all good things that come from above, all good things from heaven are imparted to our spirit. Wow. So this Holy Spirit is giving you a brand new heart, a brand new mind, a brand new conception of who you are. He died for all. That now that we'll no longer live for ourselves. See, when you're living for yourself, you're the miserable of all people. Because everything is based around you. And guess what? When it begins and ends with you, it doesn't have a happy ending. There's no happy conclusion if your life is simply lived for you to find a better life. And that's why, as great as motivational speaking is, as great as all this self-affirmation speaking is, for a temporal basis, it's fine. But it doesn't bring an eternal glory. Because we cannot simply make ourselves better because we mentally ascend to it. That's not what we're headed to become better. We're becoming like him. That's where we're headed, to become like Christ. That there's nothing that I have to reprogram myself to become something better. It's that the Spirit of God begins to speak through me. And I begin to tap back into the paradigm, the very anchor of my heart and soul, who's Christ, and let his nature, his voice begin to manifest through me. I don't want to have to work myself into some acceptance of myself or some acceptance of you. I want to express his heart to you. See what I'm saying? Because my love will fail. My wisdom will come up short. My prophecy will fade away. But his love will never fail. Amen? So don't get me wrong. I'm not condemning self stuff. I don't read self stuff. Anything that's got self stuff on it, I don't read it. Because I don't want to learn how to make myself better. I want to learn how to let Christ be glorified in me. Because I've tried that stuff where I'm going to forgive you, but then at the same time I'm harboring this secret thing in me. I'm forgiving you, my brother. In the back of my heart there's this rawr, rawr, rawr. Just wait till the opportunity. I'm going to get you good. I'm forgiving you, my friend. I love you. Rawr, rawr, inside. How many know what I'm talking about? I want to get to where there's no wicked way, no wicked one in me that has even the potential of expressing itself. That's why Paul said, we go through all these heavy trials and pressures all around us, these persecutions. I'm going through all this horrendous thing that Paul went through. But yet I know that in the midst of all that, there's this promise that the greater glory is being revealed in me. Because these momentary light afflictions are serving a purpose. See, all this stuff you go through in your life, and all of us go through it. I probably go through it more than all of you. I know what you're going through if you're going through something, because I go through it too. But all of it serves the purpose of God, is to reveal the gold, to reveal the purity of your heart, the pure expression of love that comes out of you, the ability to actually forgive and forget, the ability to actually empower and release. Not to empower to get, but to empower to release. Not to enable in order to promote yourself, but to enable to actually promote someone else. But the kingdom of God that's manifesting through this nature is opposite of the nature that what man creates through his own self-effort. Because the self-effort of man will always produce a facsimile of the Lord. In other words, a fake or a false image of who God is. But the Lord said there's a true image manifesting in this hour. Wow. Man, I love this goosebump part. Goosebump part. That's the Holy Spirit plopping down on top of you. You know what I mean? Wow. Therefore, from now on, verse 16, I love this one. Therefore, from now on, everybody say, from now on, now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we don't know him any longer that way. My goodness. I can't even know myself according to the flesh. I used to know who I was, but now I don't know. I'm not the same man that I used to be. Paul said, I used to be the Pharisee of the Pharisees. I used to be the persecutor of the Jews. I used to be the self-righteous man. But one day, on the road to Damascus, he came. Paul, I'm going to make you a brand new man. And Paul says, now I count all those things as dung that I used to be. I didn't take what I was and rehash it and try to make myself a good Christian because of that. I said, Paul said this, I have found no righteousness within me, but now have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Some of you are very frustrated because you keep trying to bring your Saul to the table. And Jesus says, I want to make you a Paul. But Lord, look what all I've been. But now the Lord says, now look what all you can be. It's not what you've been, it's what you're becoming. Hallelujah. It's not what you're doing. It's what you're becoming. It's the affirmation of the Lord saying, now I know you no longer after the flesh. Every time I get down in the dumps, and every time I get despondent, every time I get discouraged, and you say, Pastor, surely you don't get that way. Well, not often, but I do. Anytime I get feeling the blues, it's all because I keep trying to say, Bill Hart, and I should say, it's not me anymore, it's him. Because every time I try to come back and measure up to God, I disappoint myself because I just can't do it. Don't live your life in a land of disappointment. Live your life in a land of freedom. Wow. Knowing no man after the flesh. Let's read on. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's time to wave goodbye. Everybody, stick up your right hand and just wave. I'm waving goodbye to the old things. They're all becoming new in my life. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us now the ministry of reconciliation. It's amazing. Everything that God gave Jesus Christ, he's now given you. Everything. Everything that pertains to Christ now pertains to you. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. They've often said, if only the Christians would wake up to who we are, it would change everything. That's a given, isn't it? Because everything that God has given has been given to you and to us. Hallelujah. You know why I love preaching? Because when I'm standing up here, I got it. I mean, I'm just like being infused with power. I mean, I feel like I'm 25 years old. I may even look it in moments like this. I mean, I just feel full of what God has said. Amen? I don't know how long I would do that if I quit fellowshipping with you guys. Because when you quit fellowshipping with people, you know what happens? Pretty soon you start listening to other things. You start listening to the lies. You start listening to the world and what it's trying to teach us. You know, sometimes you watch the news, especially right now in this conflict in America. I mean, pretty soon you listen to this, whatever commentators or newscasts you listen to, and you begin to form opinions about this. You form opinions about Black Lives Matter. You form opinions about police. You form opinions about the politicians that control it. Pretty soon your opinions begin to override your spirit and you begin to make judgments that aren't based upon spirit concept, but based upon human response because you're seeing it in the flesh. Amen? I'm guilty. It doesn't take much to spark what Bill Hart used to believe about things. I just got to feed it for a little while and it'll start manifesting. The old West Texas redneck pops his head up. Hello, I'm still here. Are you ready? Let me voice my opinion. But when I'm walking in the spirit, I say, shut up. Shut up. You have no right to voice an opinion because I'm no longer in the flesh. I'm in the spirit. I'm going to hear the voice of God, what he has to say about this. And guess what? God doesn't take sides. God's not for your agenda, or no, he may not be against it either. Because what you make out of this is something that he's not making out of it. He doesn't see it. And its incompletion and its insufficiency and all of its frailty. He sees the completed work that he's already promised us to have. A people on the earth walking in one spirit, one heart, one mind, one anointing, one spirit. There's one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We've oftentimes confuse this thing. We said, well, we are a many-membered body with much diversity. Well, we know that. But that doesn't mean that we're a separate body with diversity. I likened it, I mentioned last night, I used to be in auto mechanics. That's what you go into when you have a head concussion in football and your senior year you can't play. You have to go into auto mechanics. And I got thrown in with the most different kind of people than I'd been fellowshipping with. Back then in the 60s, the guys that, what'd they call them? The Fonzies? They were like Fonzie. They had, guys that had the longer hair, but it was all slicked back. And the leather jackets and the hair was pitch black dye. I was in the class of all these guys. And here I was kind of the preppy. I wasn't really a preppy, but I mean, a lot more preppy than what they were. But I got along with them fine. Yeah, that's where you learn to have cigarette breaks, you know, in high school. Everybody goes out to the side and in their leather jackets and everything. I mean, it's classic. I mean, some of you young people, you don't realize how wonderful that was. Those were the days. Happy days. Hallelujah. And So in auto mechanics back then, you could work on cars. Now you can't work on cars unless you have graduated from an engineering degree at the University of Texas and almost qualified to be in NASA. Then you could be a car mechanic. That's how difficult cars are nowadays to work on. I wouldn't even attempt to work on a car. The only way I'd work on a car now is a sledgehammer. You know, my frustration beating the thing to death. Back then you could just yank the motor out and overhaul it, and you didn't have electronics, you didn't have computers. You know, you had the starters, and you had what's the round things? Distributors with the distributor cap. You know, you could do the time and change. You could do everything. One thing you learned about motors is this. Even though they have many moving parts, you have pistons, you have valves, you have all kinds of things going on. But right in the center of the motor is what, the camshaft, right? You learned right away that everything in the motor had to balance off of the camshaft. Because no matter what the other parts did, unless the camshaft was right, nothing else worked right. And that's the same thing in the kingdom. The Spirit of God is our camshaft. There's one Spirit. One Spirit. We all operate off that one Spirit. We all might have different manifestations. One may be a piston. One may be a valve. One may be an exhaust manifold. One may be an intake manifold. One may be an air filter. One may be an oil filter. One may be just a little screw, a little bolt. But we all have a part in that one engine. But it's one engine. It makes one sound. It makes one motion. It has one purpose. That's the church, with many members involved. So it's not the fact that you're different than the guy next to you, or the lady next to you, or the child next to you, because you should be different from them. That's not the issue. The difference is not a problem. The problem is when your difference is separated from the Spirit of the One. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what God does in the Spirit. He's creating one body with one heart, with one expression to the world, with the ability to bring all of creation. You know, and it says in Romans 8, I always love this scripture, God is waiting. The world is waiting, it says, for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for an engine that can run in unity, so that then they will bring to naught and destroy all futility. And they will loose all creation into the glorious liberty of the same Spirit. Hallelujah. That's just where we're going, isn't it? I'm excited this morning. How about you? Someone say, I'm excited. Are you getting anything out of it? Well, you just about got all of it, so don't worry. It's about over with. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that in God, in Christ, reconciling the world himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we're now ambassadors for Christ, as God were pleading through us. Everybody say, God is pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I want Ricky and Gina to come up here. Would you stand on the platform, Ricky and Gina? And Savannah, would you come up and stand on the platform? Just get in the line, if you would. And is your mother and wife with you, son? Yeah. How do you pronounce your name? Mandy's husband. Jung, come on up, Jung. Where's Mandy and... Oh, they're upstairs. Come on, Jung. Yeah. Come on up, Aaron. You come up and stand up here, too. A little short guy here. Let him come up and stand up there. Ruth, you come on up, too. And y'all lock arms now. And, Richard, where you at? Come on up. Yeah. Bring the lovely with you also. Bring the lovely. I say the lovely. By the way, it's good to see Liz Norman back here this morning. God bless you, Liz. Liz has been with us back since the 80s, off and on. God bless you. I love Liz. You're so sweet. Thank you for coming. It touched my heart so much. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're not getting older. We're getting better, aren't we? We sure are. Let me see what we got here. Any, meeny, miny, mo. No, no, no. Okay, so let's see here. We got, who else? Let me think of some. Oh, yeah. Where is, yeah, Dora. Come on up, Dora. Yeah. There you are. Dora, you get down on this end over here with Richard. And, this, what's your name again, hon? Jamie? Okay, come on up. And bring that good-looking Rachel with you, too. Rachel's going to come up. Y'all get down here on this end. And let's see. Yeah, Gloria Walker, you come on up here, too. You know, I love Gloria Walker. I love both Glorias. These are our mothers in the church. And Gloria's been... Gloria first came here in 1987 at a 6 o'clock prayer meeting. And met her at 6 o'clock in the morning. I tell you, that's a long time ago, 1987. That's how impactful meeting... Oh, Sydney, you get up here too. Come on. That's how impactful it... I love Sydney. But that's how impactful Gloria's... was Walker was, I remember, since 1987 at 6 a.m. morning. Okay, so a lot of people up here. So what we're going to do this morning, God has made us one, right? Now, we have people of different sexes up here. We have men. We have women. We have different people that have come from different cultures, right? We have people that come from so-called different races, which I don't see different races in the kingdom, right? But we have people of color, people of less color, people of more color, people of less and less color, and more people of color. We have all kinds of diversity here. Now, in reflection, this is what our nation looks like, right? And what the scripture says that in the kingdom of God, there's neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's not black or white. There's not brown. There's... none of that is, it's all irrelevant because we don't see one another after the flesh. We see one another after the spirit. Now, the world is looking, in America right now, the focus is on the flesh, trying to distinguish between different races, different genders. I mean, there's all kinds of division over who we are and what we think we are and what we're not. But I want us to do this morning, I want you guys to join arms there, because I want to say this represents oneness. This is a diversity of people that have one spirit, the Spirit of Christ. I love every one of them the same, no matter if they're tall or short. None of you are heavy. I mean, if you're skinny or even if you're a little overweight. If you're brown or black or white, if you're Asian or whatever, I love you the same because to me, we're one in the spirit. There's no difference between us. Lord, amen. So I just want us to join everybody else. Stand up and let's all join our elbows together this morning. And could I get us, Darren, could you come up if you're here? And we're going to worship. Because what I want us to do this morning, we prayed for our nation. We prayed for the oneness. But I want us to, I don't know what we can do. I mean, you know, you can go on Facebook and you can blog and you can gripe and you can complain about black people being killed by white cops, or you can complain about white cops being killed by black people, or you can voice an opinion about how horrible things are in America. You can do all that. But I'm going to tell you, that's a waste of your time. You're wasting time. All you're doing is manifesting your flesh by your complaints about what's happening in America. What you can do, though, is go on, if you're on social media, go on there and proclaim the oneness. Proclaim the love. Proclaim the unity. Proclaim who we are as a people, that there is no black or white. And you know, that we're not here to wholesale condemn the black people that are protesting or the white people that are doing this or the cops or anybody. We're not here to become a protester. We're here to become an ambassador for Christ and to represent his nature. Amen. Hallelujah.